quarterback for the Edmonton Eskimos. Soon to be a karaoke chump or karaoke champ. We will find out tomorrow night. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Gregor. How about yourself?
Hey, I'm doing excellent. We are getting closer by the day for the King Queen Karaoke Contest tomorrow night. $1,000 cash on the line and a trophy, which, of course, is the most important because trophies last forever. Money doesn't. How much have you been practicing your karaoke song?
Oh, man, you know what? I've always been a last-minute cram session type of guy, so I'm sure I'll keep the neighbors up all night long tonight perfecting my craft. But, yeah, I do my best work under pressure, so I'm leaving it to the last minute.
Will you be watching, like, the YouTube video of your song so you kind of know how the actual performers performed it?
Of course. I mean, I'm a film room junkie, so... Yeah, you know, I might even head over to Commonwealth and see if I can borrow a cowboy remote so I can get the rewind action going efficiently. But, yeah,
nice.
I'll be on YouTube for sure.
Nice. How did you come to the select? Because now it's up to you. You don't have to tell our audience. You can save it. No one has said what their song is publicly yet, but you can. But how did you come up with your song of choice?
Yeah, you know, I'll keep it under wraps for now. But it's been a staple in my go-to bag of tricks anytime that I have to turn something on that I know all the words to and that I can really relate to. So I'll leave it at that, but without giving up too much of my secret. But yeah, it's something that I'm well-versed in terms of the lyrics.
Now, in football circles, when you go to college, when you turn pro, a lot of times at rookie nights, a lot of it involves singing for football guys. So have you ever had to do that?
You know, I have had to, but the times that I was forced to entertain, it was singing like school fight songs and stuff like that. So nothing with any kind of background music. So this will be a step up for sure.
What was your school fight song?
When I was at Washington State, I'm not going to sing it online, man, or on the radio. You guys got to come and pay for the tickets to hear me sing tomorrow. But Washington State's fight song was the one that fight, fight, fight for Washington State. And anybody that needs to hear that can look it up online, I'm sure.
Was it a good fight song? Like, have you ever heard a good school fight song?
No. I don't know if there's a good fight song that exists anywhere, at least not at U.S. universities. They're all probably better left unsung.
Earlier today, UConn Jack said he really admired you. He's looking forward to meeting you after watching you take a pounding last year and then pull yourself up off the mat continually. And he said he's excited because he goes, when you take a pounding from him tomorrow night in karaoke, he knows you'll be able to at least adhere to that and accept it rather easily.
Well, you know, he is a wily veteran, and this will be my rookie performance. So, you know, I can understand his confidence. You know, I guess I might be a little nervous now that I realize there's only two categories, and that's champ or chump. There's no middle ground, apparently. So I'm going to have to step it up.
Well, I guess, you know, that's not true. I guess you could be middle of the road. That's for sure, right? There is a difference, though, of course, making it into the final. I guess you could be a finalist or a non-finalist. That's part of it, for sure. How many of your team?
I think if you're not going to win, you just would rather not even be in the finals. I mean, if you got to perform twice but you don't win, you're probably better off performing only once. So it's all or nothing.
How many of your teammates will be there tomorrow?
You know, hopefully a few. You know, I've definitely been spreading the word, and you know, I don't know if they have a lot of confidence in my skills. So they're either going to show up to cheer me or they're going to show up to boo me. But if they're there, they'll be making noise in one direction or the other.
If you had to pick one Eskimo teammate to do a duet with in karaoke, who would you pick and why?
Calvin McCarty. I don't even have to think about that.
Really?
Yeah, not that he has a great singing voice, but I just think he's a performer. I think he feeds off the crowd.
Okay.
I don't think he'd stay on stage. I don't know what the range is on those mics if they're cordless, but he would be out with the people putting on a show. So that would definitely be my go-to partner.
Okay, nice. The CBA, as the quarterback of the Eskimos, you finally get back in town and you're seeing the negotiations. They became public yesterday, kind of the first time ever. We had Scott Flory on earlier from the CFLPA. We also had from the CFL the president on our program earlier today discussing his side of things. Where do you stand on this, Mike? Are you diving into it heavily? Are you getting updates on an hourly basis? How does it work from a guy who's not a player's rep?
You know, I've been getting updates for the last couple of months from our player reps, Brian Ramsey and JC Sherritt, so I'm definitely well informed. You know, I don't spend a majority of my day worrying about it. It's just an added stress that, you know, for me, I don't really want to worry about too much. I'm focused on trying to get ready for the season, and that's where I try to keep my head at. But I definitely know what's going on. As you said, you know, it's kind of become public in the last, you know, 30 hours or so, which I'm not so sure that that's a great thing, because now it's a fine line. You want the fans to be informed of what's going on, but now you're kind of dividing the fan base between pro league owners and pro PA and players. So it's been an interesting, you know, day and a half here, but you know, just hoping that it'll all get worked out in a timely fashion so we can get on the field and start camp when we're supposed to.
When you talk to your player reps, like, when do you guys are you starting now? Is the plan okay? Because I know a lot of you guys, when you do your off-season training, you build to it so you're ready to go on June 1st, not June 15th, but June 1st specifically.
Right.
Will you guys get together then, the guys who are in Edmonton, and try to do some sort of informal workouts in that time to keep you fresh whenever training camp starts? What's your plan to ensure that your arm's still fresh and ready to go?
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, whether camp starts on June 1st or at a later date, the physical and mental preparation of what we're going to try to do is going to start June 1st. And if that's just us as players and whoever's in town, then so be it. You know, but that's something that I've been working on for the last couple of days, sending out some emails to the guys and working the phones and trying to get a feel for what everybody's plan is. And at this time, it's difficult for the players to really have a solid plan of when they're going to come into town because, you know, if something gets pushed back, then they're going to be on their own for a while finding, you know, living quarters and all that stuff. But, you know, we have a good group of guys, and we have guys that are local to the community, like Ryan King, you know, that are working the phones to family and friends to try to find arrangements for guys if it comes to that. And, you know, we're prepared for that possibility. And especially with a new offensive system and a new defensive system, you know, our guys understand that it's important that we get started as soon as possible. And we're not going to wait, you know, for a green light from the league or from, you know, the new CBA. We're going to get going on June 1st. You know, we're obviously not going to have 85 guys here in town to do that, but we'll have enough guys to get the work done that's needed.
Do you throw between now and June 1st?
Do I throw? Yeah.
Yeah.
We threw this morning. You know, it's kind of during the off season for most of the time, we'll generally throw twice a week and we'll have, you know, an hour and a half of work that we do for those days, if not more. But we generally limit it to 2 days a week. And then as you get closer to training camp, I generally like to start doing it 4 or 5 days a week for a shorter time period, whether it's a half hour or 45 minutes, just to try to get your body and your arm used to throwing on a daily basis, because it's definitely something that can take a toll if you're not prepared for it. So we got a throwing session in today. We'll get another one in tomorrow and maybe some sort of informal deal over the weekend. And then next week, it'll be at the very minimum Monday, Wednesday, Friday, if not Tuesday and Thursday as well.
Outside of throwing, Mike, are you able, because I'm sure McAdoo's given you the offense, you kind of know what you're looking for. When you're going over the new offensive playbook, do you look at it with teammates and you guys talking about it kind of pre-camp? What's your strategy under this new offense to ensure that whether training camp starts on time or is late, that you guys won't need more time to be accustomed to it so you know how to run it properly?
Yeah, you know, I've had the system since before we went down to Florida for the camp,
okay.
And it's something that I have been able to spend time, you know, 3, 4, 5 days a week, you know, going through my notebook, my playbook, studying the plays. And we have film cut-ups of the offensive system being ran. So there's plenty of opportunities to get that work done. In terms of sitting down with the teammates, you know, I just got off the phone an hour ago with Shamon Chambers and Fred Stamps, and both of those guys are going to be in town next week, and they're actually moving into the same building that I'm in right now. And we'll all be here through the lead up to training camp and through training camp. So we'll get a heavy dose of that, not only at the stadium and in the meeting rooms, but also back at the apartment complex to make sure that we're all on the same page and that we're not wasting any time in terms of getting prepared.
Mike Riley, quarterback of the Edmonton Eskimos, joins us, of course, waiting patiently like everybody else to see what happens with the CBA. More importantly, though, a big night out tomorrow night, karaoke down at On the Rocks. He is one of the celeb karaoke's. We still have tickets available if you want to get him at jasongreger.com. Updated, we got about 29 left that will guarantee you entry. After that, you can get some at the door, but there's no guarantee you will get in. So you go to jasongreger.com, the $30, but you get $50 in GCs when you arrive tomorrow night at the event. When you talked earlier about karaokeing and practicing and everything else, if you had to pick a singer, who's Mike Riley's voice similar to for our audience? Like, who should they expect on stage tomorrow night?
Oh, man. You know, there's no one on the professional circuit that has a voice like mine, and that's not necessarily a good thing for me, but if anybody out there had a voice like mine, they would not be getting paid to sing. So for me, it's not necessarily about the vocals, it's about the entire performance, and you know, I think that's my only chance of moving on to the finals is just the all-around experience of getting to show up. So you know, I couldn't even give you a legitimate answer because I haven't heard my own voice sing, let alone someone that sounds like me in quite some time.
If you could sound like a musician, who would you want to sound like?
Oh, man, that is a great question. Probably, I mean, if I could pick anybody, Michael Bublé for sure. I mean, that guy takes care of business.
Yeah, he's pretty good. He can make the ladies swoon for sure. He's got a pretty good.
That's the ultimate goal, right?
So. Yeah, that's very true. That always seems to be part of the goal when you're a musician, I would think, yes. Well, Mike, we're glad that you've been a good sport throughout this. We look forward to the performance tomorrow night. I got good news for you. I did the draw last night as far as order. And you don't have to worry about being, you know, the first guy on stage. You've got some time to see everybody else, to get focused and be ready.
Well, that's good. You know, it's too close to the season to be utilizing liquid courage, I would say. But I guess the next best thing is not to come out of the gates too fast. So I'm glad I get to take it all in for a few minutes first. So I appreciate that.
Well, it wasn't on purpose. I'd have loved to have you go first, but we just do a draw. So it's luck of the draw.
All right, well, yeah, I guess I should just thank my luck.
Yeah, exactly. You're like the Cleveland Cavaliers, except you didn't win, which is perfect. You didn't have to go first.
I'm glad I'm in one of those Ford bottom teams in the lottery. That's awesome. Yeah, good.
Well, they were ninth, actually, so, you know, that's not bad.
Oh, okay. Yeah, good. I'm not in the bottom third. Which
yeah,
always,
there you go. At ninth would put you right. That'd be 50%. That'd be perfect.
There we go. Yeah, hey, about that? I'll take it.
We have 18 performers tomorrow night, so it'll be a lot of fun.
All right.
Well, we see you down there at On the Rocks tomorrow, Mike. Appreciate your time.
Sounds great. Looking forward to it. Thanks for having me on.